LEX 18 presents a podcast with hot takes, hot topics, with your hosts, Megan Mannering and Evelyn Schultz. This is Hot Mic.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Hot Mic. We are just rolling along this year with another episode.
And another great guest. Yes. We are going to learn so much about Lexington today. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited for
this one.
We have Mary Quinn Raymer with Visit Lex joining Hot Mic today. Welcome.
Good morning, ladies.
We're so grateful that you're here.
Yeah, well, I am so happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, we know that you're very busy.
Well, I imagine someone that works in tourism, like, you always have stuff going on.
There's always the next event or the next thing, that's for sure. But it keeps it fun.
It does seem like a really fun job. Sometimes I think about, like, the people who work in tourism, and I think that would be a really fun career.
There is no doubt that there are so many, so many rewarding moments. It's also, you know, a job. Mm-hmm, and there's a lot of responsibility and a lot of long days, long hours. But the people that we meet, really, and the fact that we get to share our little slice of heaven with the world makes it worth it.
Yeah. Did you grow up here in Lexington?
I grew up over in Danville, so not far. I consider myself very much a Central Kentucky
girl.
You're
a local girl.
Through and through, but I was not born here in Lexington, so I felt very thankful for growing up in Danville. It was a wonderful place to be young and sort of learn how to fly.
Mm-hmm. And you went to Center as well.
I did. I took a bit of a circuitous route, but I ended up back at Center at the end of my freshman year and finished there and have no regrets. It was a wonderful place. So many amazing professors, got to live in France while I was studying abroad through the Center abroad program, and just extremely grateful for the opportunity that I had during my years at Center.
Was that travel abroad experience part of what ignited your love for tourism, or how did that come about?
I think so. So obviously I grew up doing, you know, the family trips. We would go visit my grandparents or go visit family. We had a lot of family in North Carolina, so we would trek down in the old station wagon to North Carolina. We did the beach trips a couple of times. And so I was accustomed to, you know, this idea of a vacation. But it was really when I lived abroad that I was able to do all that on my own, sort of planning the whole itinerary, making all the logistics work, and really just fell in love with it. I mean, I've always been so happy about coming home to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I've never really wanted to live anywhere else. I'm so proud to call this place home. But I have a deep love for seeing the world, meeting people from around the world, meeting people from all over this fantastic country that we're in, and the fact that I get to, you know, do that as part of my mission at Visit Lex is a great honor.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite places that you've visited over the years?
Oh, my goodness. This is like asking for a favorite child. But I have, I have a love of Europe. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. When I lived in France, obviously, I was able to travel via train to so many of the European countries. I have a soft spot in Strasbourg, France. That's where I lived when I was in college. I tell you what, I love the Canadian Rockies. Some of the most stunning scenery that I've ever been a part of. I took my first trip to Asia a couple years ago. I was in Japan and South Korea both. Again, just beautiful people, beautiful country. So clean. Japan is so clean and so organized and so quiet compared to what we're used to here in the United States. And I was, had the opportunity to be with our sister city, which is Shinhidaka, Japan. And just, I mean, truly the kindest people. Yeah. And they have a profound love of the horse. Of course, all of our sister cities here in Lexington share a love of, the horse and the equine industry. And so it was just amazing to be at this horse farm in Japan, having them show us, you know, their stud farm, and thinking about all the stud farms that I've been in, you know, or been on here in Lexington, and thinking we are thousands of miles apart from one another, and yet so much in common and so much to learn from each other.
It probably shows you we have, like you said, so much more in common than we are actually different.
It's so very true. And I think that's one of the great, I think that's one of the great lessons in travel. Mm-hmm. It really is the antidote to hate. The more that you have the opportunity to experience other cultures, to meet people, to see what it is that binds us as humans, it's so much easier to love people that are different than us.
Mm-hmm. My college had a really strong study abroad program. I know you've done a lot of traveling, Evie, but I really felt like the 5 months that I spent, I was in Madrid, were the most transformative of my whole life so far. You're so right. Spending time with, I was living with another family, yes, and really being immersed in the culture, you just realize a lot of similarities in values of family and togetherness, but then also all these differences.
Sure.
Learning another culture is just too fun.
It
too
is. Cool. It's really, it's a great opportunity. And that's part of what I love when we bring visitors to Lexington. Yes, we're getting to share with them, you know, some of the things that make us truly distinct. For example, our fantastic scenery, our rolling hills, our amazing horses. If you like bourbon, we've got a lot of that that we make as well. And yet we're also just saying, like, you're welcome here, right? I am so delighted with these recent Condé Nast awards because I think it speaks directly to how warm and friendly people are to our visitors. And I think that's what we're sharing as much as anything is just, you know, ourselves, our hearts, in our home.
For those who haven't heard yet, what awards is Lexington racking up?
So we kicked off the year in fabulous style. We were awarded 3 Condé Nast Awards, 1 for being the most visitor-friendly city. And the thing that is really fantastic about this is a Reader's Choice style award. So this is people who've been here voting on Lexington. This is not, you know, the Bureau saying, hey, we'd love to to put our city forward
for considering for these awards.
Absolutely not. This is truly generated. We were number 6 for our food. So food diversity in Lexington. And then we were number 8 for best small city. Okay. And I just think, again, with these being readers' selections, their choices, for us to come out being in the top 10 in 3 different lists, and then for the number 1 ranking to be a direct reflection of the people that call Lexington home and that welcome folks from around the world with open arms, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So for our viewers and listeners, pat yourself on the back. Yes. You won an award if you hadn't heard.
And if you're not here, come visit.
Absolutely. So thank you to all the folks in Lexington who really do go out of their way to share the city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get one of the perks of the job is the emails that come completely unsolicited from folks who have been to visit. And I got this great email a few years ago when UNC Chapel Hill was here to play UK in basketball. And these diehard Chapel Hill fans, UNC fans, had come to the game. Well, they ended up popping across the street after the game was over and ended up, you know, as you do, striking up a conversation with a couple at the bar. These couple became fast friends, and that couple invited them out the next night to their home for a meal.
No way.
And so this UNC fan was saying, you all have got to be the nicest people on the planet. Wow. And I'm like, that's just it, and it's real genuine.
It is.
That Southern hospitality.
It is. That's actually one of the reasons why. So my husband's from Tennessee. I'm from Indiana. But we've lived in Lexington for 6 years now. When we got married almost three years ago, we initially thought about having our wedding in Indianapolis because it's closer to my family. It would be maybe a little bit easier to plan with my mom. But eventually we settled on Lexington because we wanted people to be able to come experience Lexington. And I'm so grateful we had our wedding here because we heard from so many of our guests that they loved getting to
experience
the city.
Yeah.
So it worked out so well.
That's perfect. I have everybody meet in the middle.
Exactly. And get to, you know, see all of our restaurants and just the scenery and everything that we've got going on.
Yeah, rolling hills in the background of your wedding photos. You really can't beat it.
Yeah.
I think Lexington, I have felt this since I moved here. It's like the perfect mix of that Southern charm, Southern hospitality, but also with Midwest nice. But like the Midwest nice.
Totally.
It's kind of the perfect mix.
Yeah.
I have a husband who's from his family, very rooted in the Midwest, and that Midwest nice is a real thing.
It's a real thing, and
I do think we are right at this inflection point of both here in Central Kentucky, which makes it really charming. We can cater to both. We can be a little bit Southern and a little bit Midwestern, and a whole lot of nice and good. So
I like that. With Louisville and Cincinnati and Nashville, Dollywood, all of these larger cities and other destinations nearby, how do you make sure that Lexington stands out?
Well, it's a great question, and we do it in a lot of ways, as you might imagine. There's no one sort of magic answer to how we stay competitive. But first of all, we just lean in from a brand perspective mm-hmm. to our authenticity. What do we have that is authentically ours? You know, we're not going to be able to go create what Dollywood has created in East Tennessee. And so why try? Let's just do what we do really mm-hmm. well. And of course, it goes without saying, we do horses and bourbon really well. And those are great hooks. Those are great sort of initial, let us inspire you with our scenery. Or mm-hmm. if you happen to be into the, you know, bourbon culture, let us entice you by visiting some of these home places. But then the magic is that once they're here, we can show them so much more. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you all know this. You live here. We have a wonderfully rich and energetic city. There is mm-hmm. always something going on. So whether you're in the arts and culture space, or you really love genealogy and you want to take a deep dive into perhaps how your family came through Kentucky on its way west or whatever it is that strikes you, you know, there's lots of different ways that we can introduce you to the rest of our city. And of course, no trip is complete without a little shopping and a lot of eating. And so we can also give you great experiences with those two things. I mean, I joke that I eat out as a recreational hobby.
But you probably have to do a little research for work too, right?
That's what I say all the time. I'm just doing research.
No.
I can't be. And then we just have the beautiful outdoors as well. It's mm-hmm. a, you know, Central Kentucky, especially if you look at it as, you know, Lexington and contiguous counties. Just a playground. I mean, just nature's playground, mm-hmm. honestly. And so even just the sort of connection that we have from Lexington to the Red River Gorge, it's a great sort of like outdoor meets city. You get a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go do a couple days in the gorge and then come here and, you know, check into a nice hotel and take a shower and treat yourself to a good restaurant after you've done all that rock climbing. And so mm-hmm. just really leaning in to the things that we have in spades, but that are really authentic to who we are. Of course, we do advertising. We try to be active on social media. If you've followed along on any of our Instagram or Facebook, we try to be very inspirational in those mm-hmm. spaces, sort of showing these stunning moments that we're so blessed with around here. We do a lot of earned media, so we're always looking for an opportunity to tell our story. And we've, you know, had many different journalists that have visited over the years and have let us take them on a 2 or 3 day tour of the city, and then they have gone back to their audiences and written these stories or shared, you know, these segments with their viewers. And that's been a great way, mm-hmm. you know, to give people a up-close look at what's happening in the city. And then, of course, on our sales side, we are always looking for conventions and meetings and events that fit into the city. So that functions a little bit differently than your leisure traveler, your person who's looking yeah. for maybe a long weekend or a family vacation. But it is a really important part of what we do at Visit Lex is recruiting meetings and conventions. Mm-hmm. So we have a number of hotels that can host meetings in their own properties. And then, of course, we have the Central Bank Center downtown mm-hmm. and the Kentucky Horse Park out on the north end. And both of those facilities are just economic engines for this city. Mm-hmm. If you are out at the Kentucky Horse Park during the summer, I promise you, there will not be one quiet day out there with a number of competitions and horses and humans that are coming in through those gates to be a part of Pony Club or some championship. Central Bank Center just been a tremendous game changer for the types of events and the mm-hmm. size of events mm-hmm. that we're able to host in Lexington. We get tremendous feedback from our meeting planners that they love being in Lexington. Geographically, it's a fairly easy place mm-hmm. to get to. We have wonderful facility in the Central Bank Center. Downtown is really walkable and safe, and those are great selling points. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's lots of fun restaurants that you can walk to easily from our downtown hotels and the convention center. So there's just a lot that goes into the work that we do at Visit Lex. But travel is a very competitive space, and we can never take our foot off the gas. We have constantly got to be out there, keeping Lexington top of mind, keeping people excited mm-hmm. about us as a destination.
I will say, I do follow the Instagram, and it's so good. And sometimes yes. I will see a post, and I'll be like, ooh, where is this? Thinking it's a different city or something. And then I realize, oh, my gosh, this is my town. I live right here. So yeah. That's a good thing. That's
yeah,
a good
it's sign. Fun. It's fun, too. When we have so many talented photographers mm-hmm. that we work with that are great partners of ours, and It never gets old.
Yeah.
Seeing some of these like stunning moments that have been captured.
What about TikTok? Because I myself am on TikTok and I find travel destinations.
Yes. Yes.
Just scrolling through, right? People saying either I went here or you should come to my city. Are you all using apps like TikTok to reach a new audience?
We absolutely are. I have two. Well, one is a junior high school and the other is a freshman in college, and they have kids in the house and they have assured me that if you're not looking on TikTok, you're not doing it
wrong.
Yeah. Right. And so especially with this younger demographic, we have seen TikTok be extremely successful for us. And so we have, that is absolutely an opportunity that we are also targeting for growth this year.
Okay.
To continue showing up in that space in ways that, you know, are, that meet that type of audience exactly where they are and give them inspirational content. Of course, we've got collaborators that we want to work with, specifically for TikTok. But yeah, it's a great medium. I mean, it is a really wonderful way to discover a destination. And so, these social platforms are just, they've been great, equalizers for destinations like Lexington who maybe cannot compete dollar for dollar with a Nashville or an Indianapolis. Like we just don't have the big budget that they do, but we have social media and we can really leverage that as a, as an inspiration tool. And so that it's very much part of our strategy.
And I think a lot of times people trust, not that you don't trust a magazine or a travel show, but if it's just a regular person on your phone saying, hey, I went here.
Right.
I liked this restaurant. You should try it. People are more likely sometimes to trust.
Yes. You feel like you're getting the unpolished version of it. So,
So we know bourbon, thoroughbreds, basketball, those are the thing, the identifiers for Lexington. But do you think there is an aspect of Lexington's identity that doesn't get enough credit, or maybe that's growing?
That's a great question. So I mentioned this briefly just a minute ago, but I think we get overlooked as an outdoor destination. Mm-hmm. And so much of what we actually have to offer is outdoors. If you think about, like, where do you experience a horse farm? Where do you experience you know, a day at the races? Well, you're outdoors. And so we are actually in the process at Visit Lex of creating a lot more content for outdoors. It also lends to be very family friendly. Personally, one of my favorite ways to spend an afternoon in the bluegrass is in a kayak on the water, looking at, you know, or, you know, going down a creek or a river, whatever, have a lake. The scenery is stunning, and it's a completely different way, you know, than driving our back roads to see the bluegrass. And so we'd love to lean into that a little bit more. The city has property that they have recently acquired that's down on the Kentucky River, which will give Fayette County access, public access to the river for the first time in a long time. So I think that that's an opportunity for us to really continue to market is the experiences. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to be like on Boone Creek or the original Tate's Creek. These are little offshoots of the actual Kentucky River on the south end of our county. And they're gorgeous. I mean, it is really, really beautiful. And so I would love for us to continue really leaning in, getting folks out and about, adventuring. Of course, as I mentioned, we're very close to the gorge, and so that's a great sort of partnership with our colleagues and friends over in the Red River Gorge area. I think we play very well together. And I am not a rock climber, but
I'm not either.
I hear that it is literally the best rock climbing.
That's what they say.
East of the Mississippi, so I trust them, and I take their word for it, and I'm proud to tout that to anybody who's willing to listen. So, I also think really and truly, like, the arts and cultural offerings that we have in the city punch way above our weight class. I mean, you know, in many ways, this is, it is a small city, right? And if you think about just the depth of creativity, the visual artists, the performing artists, if you think about the fantastic legacy of literary history that has happened here in Lexington, the tremendous amount of, you know, authors and poets and screenwriters and folks that have produced just stunningly beautiful words. And so you think about the just the open mic nights, or you think about the productions, small theater productions, or you think about a traveling show, you know, visual arts. And so I think we'll just continue to really lean into the types of events that you can experience in the arts and cultural space as well, because I think people are drawn to those experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that art helps us process what's happening in everyday life, whichever medium mm-hmm. we're drawn to. But I think it's essential. And I just would love to continue lifting up all the makers mm-hmm. in the city that are doing phenomenal work.
You know, you mentioned the artists. I just think of the murals too that are all over.
Oh, so yeah. Fun.
When I first moved here, that was one of the things that stuck so out fun. To me was you look up in this downtown and there's something yeah. new on every mm-hmm. corner.
It's great. I mean, it's great to have those little pops of color. It's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they all have stories within the story and to give yourself something to think about. Some of them have really inspiring messages, mm-hmm. You know, which I think, you know, speaks again to that humanity that's in all of us. And I love that. And so the murals have certainly been fun. But yeah, there's everything yeah. from
street
art to high art. It's all a matter of your taste. And the bottom line is we have really wonderful ways to experience it. So.
Something for everyone. And I like that we are driving distance to some larger cities mm-hmm. if you want it. But you don't have to leave Lexington for anything. Like you mm-hmm. were saying, a show or music or performance, whatever it might be.
Right.
Lexington, yeah, punches above its weight. Underestimated.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, I just think that you know, it's hard for small cities to compete with mm-hmm. large cities mm-hmm. simply because you just, you know, the dollars don't match evenly. And there are so many people in these large metro areas and, you know, they have all yeah. those brand ambassadors out there cheering for them. And so it's a little bit of like David and Goliath, like the little yeah. guy. But that's okay. We love that. Mm-hmm. It's a good challenge for us. And there's nothing that makes me happier than a person who has come to town not really having any particular mm-hmm. expectation, intrigued, yeah. but no real expectation. And for them to, at the end of their trip, say, you know, Lexington is more than a place. Like, mm-hmm. it's a mm-hmm. feeling. I'm like, yes.
Ooh.
Love you it. Have gotten it.
That's good.
You have really been here. You have really experienced it. You yeah. have been well taken mm-hmm. care of, and you were going home knowing that this place is more than just yeah. a place. Mm-hmm. It's a feeling.
How do you describe that feeling?
For me personally, mm-hmm. oh goodness. Well, it's hard to describe, like, I, you know, coming up with, this is a good, like, liberal arts education challenge. How do I describe
we're going
this
back meeting? To center.
I know, it's almost like we're asking you to write a poem or something.
Right, and I want to just fully disclose that I am not a poet. The house that I bought, which is a really precious house, I bought from a poet. And I,
oh, wow.
When I purchased the home for her, I said, I hope mm-hmm. you have no expectation that I will be carrying on this legacy. I think for me, so much of it is very tied to the land, mm-hmm. right? I think there is, the more that I look at our signature industries, the more that I understand like the agricultural richness mm-hmm. of, the land that we're surrounded by, it has been so essential to the story of Lexington. And so I think the feeling, first of all, is deeply rooted in the land. I think it is a genuineness, and I think that is mm-hmm. has everything to do with the people. Obviously, I think it's pretty. I mean, you know, yeah. not to sound so trite, but
no,
it is. It's a really pretty place. It's a really friendly place. So yeah,
it's homey, isn't it?
I'm going to yeah. have to really think about this though.
Well, I put you on yeah. the spot. So.
Come back to you all. I will work on my poem.
And
I
will.
Maybe it'll be an Instagram post.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. Maybe okay. we actually ask.
Yeah.
We
there
ask.
You go.
What is it?
How do you describe, if Lexington is a feeling, how do you describe it?
I love that.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question. We do sure. a lot of stories about like economic mm-hmm. benefits of
yes.
this event coming to town or this tournament. We do a lot of those stories.
We do.
What does that mean for the average citizen though? When they see, oh, so and so or this event brings in X number of dollars and has this large of a benefit, what does that mean for the average person?
Well, it means a lot. So let me just give you a couple of numbers mm-hmm. and then we can kind of unpack them. So there are about 12,000 people in Lexington that call this industry their home, right? It's their job. their career. And so, first of all, it's just the people that you, you know, live in your neighborhood mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. Many of them are going to a job every day, whether it be at a hotel or an event mm-hmm. venue, or they're working in catering for, you know, a big caterer or anything like that. You know, these mm-hmm. are people who are have wonderful, meaningful careers in the hospitality industry. And so it's just a vital part of people making their living and people yeah. putting food on the table for their families and all the stuff that kind of comes with that. So I'm very proud that we have a lot of folks in the city that are employed in this space and make it what it is. We also love the dollar that comes in from outside, mm-hmm. spends its money here, mm-hmm. right? So they're buying food in our restaurants. Mm-hmm. They're buying, you know, something to take home as a souvenir in our gift shops. They're buying tickets to the show, whatever it is that they're doing, right? And yeah. so they're spending their money here, which is just great in terms of the overall economic impact for what's happening inside the city. And then they go home, mm-hmm. right? So we're not, more than likely, we're not going to be like, worried about how do they have streets and roads or how do they have EMS mm-hmm. service or who's going to remove their snow when mm-hmm. this winter snow, you know, arrives. And so it's a fairly like limited, moment in time mm-hmm. where they yeah. spend their money here and then they leave. And we love that because that dollar then gets transferred over and over throughout the community mm-hmm. and that economic impact is something that we're able to really feel. And I think the thing that probably makes the most sense, the like good stat that I can uh-huh. give you that makes the most sense for how does this impact you, just person on the street, mm-hmm. the tourism industry saves you approximately $600 a year in your taxes because of the wow. money that is
really
brought to this community by folks from who are just visiting. Oh. And then leaving. So you have a cheaper bill
mm-hmm.
because of the money that we are able to bring into this community and offset your expenses by virtue of them spending the money here. And so
I would not have known that.
Tourism works really hard
yeah.
for this city every single day. And again, if you're not employed in the industry mm-hmm. or at one of these venues, you may mm-hmm. not realize that even today, right? Just yeah. a random Thursday
mm-hmm.
in the middle of January. There is a whole industry out there that is working and there is money that is being invested in this community mm-hmm. and these people then turn around and leave and yet we've got the residual benefit of it.
So there is real incentive in being friendly and,
yeah,
and
absolutely,
you know, and being known as a warm yes. city and having these events absolutely. And these offerings. Yeah.
And of course the easiest for anybody who's in sales or marketing, the easiest customer is the one that you already have, mm-hmm. right? They're mm-hmm. the easiest one to get back. They're the easiest one to, you know, yeah. continue to develop a relationship with. And so we love it when people have good experiences mm-hmm. here because mm-hmm. they go home. And then I think the statistic is for, you know, one really good experience, they'll tell seven people at a minimum, oh my gosh, we just got back from Lexington. Uh-huh. We had the most wonderful weekend. Yeah. We met the nicest people or we saw the most amazing, you know, like mm-hmm. horse farm or I just got to actually visit Buffalo Trace, my favorite, you yeah. know, like whatever it yeah. is that pops for them. They go home and tell lots of people mm-hmm. about that experience, mm-hmm. which just then plants the seed and allows us to show up and say, inspiration, here yeah. you are.
Do you find, I don't even know if you could, I'm sure you're tracking all sorts of data, but are you able to pinpoint like an area of the country where Lexington is a growing travel destination for that area or ooh. A different country that those citizens might be coming to Lexington?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yes, we actually are able to, you know, with the way that you can track everything mm-hmm. these days, yeah. We are able to look at both credit card spend and also cell phone data. So it's not
credit
personalized.
Card spend.
Oh Lord.
It's not personalized.
You should look up Lisa Mannering. My mother. She,
her credit card goes crazy.
I think it's like smoking after she leaves Lexington.
Right. So, and we love her for that. Thank her.
We appreciate
please,
it.
Please thank her for yeah. that. So yeah, we do look at data okay. that shows where we've got some like hotspots. And mm-hmm. so I can tell you like the Chicago market has been really good okay. to this city over the last decade. We draw a lot from the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And so Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Columbus, of course, Dayton as a mm-hmm. sort of suburb mm-hmm. of the Cincy metro area. Chicago, we've actually seen some really good traffic out of Michigan.
Okay.
Detroit leading the way by virtue of being, you know, the main metro area. area. Yeah. But yeah, the Midwest states have been super good to us in a very consistent way mm-hmm. year over year. And I think that makes sense for a lot of reasons. It's easy travel. Mm-hmm. It's a very different product and experience than what yeah. they have at home. I can ask you if you yeah, agree with absolutely. This, having spent a lot of time in Indiana in your life. And so we really do a lot of strategic advertising and mm-hmm. marketing specifically in these feeder cities that are super good to us. We had been seeing a lot of really great traction out of Toronto, and it was fun for us to, really do some experimental, messaging and marketing mm-hmm. up in the Toronto area. Unfortunately, given the tensions between the U.S. and Canada, mm-hmm. That has played out on a much larger, sort of scale, we didn't feel like we could sustain that. Mm-hmm. There was just a lot of hesitation on Canadians about travel to the U.S. period. And so we kind of had to take our foot off the gas on that. So I'll be curious to see if maybe when mm-hmm. some of those tensions are smoothed out, if we can't regain some of that initial mm-hmm. interest in and foothold that we had in the Toronto area. From an international standpoint, I can tell you that Kentucky as a whole, so it's much easier when you're in the international marketing space for travel specifically mm-hmm. to lead with Kentucky. It's really unlikely that somebody knows any specific city in Kentucky.
Yeah.
They may know of the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. I'm almost positive that they're going to have heard of Kentucky Fried Chicken. They may think
that's a worldwide phenomenon.
Absolutely. In Asia, it's a super big deal. And so they may think Rolling Hills or horses or something mm-hmm. that, bourbon, but mm-hmm. they're not necessarily thinking Lexington. Mm-hmm. So we have a collaborative partnership with many of the cities in the state, and certainly with the Department of Tourism that's headquartered over in Frankfort to work on a Kentucky message to the world. And I will say that just given the popularity of the South in the last, 5-10 years, mm-hmm. shows like Nashville, the rise of mm-hmm. country music as a really mainstream again, mm-hmm. That has done wonders for just elevating the whole Southeast as a destination. Bourbon has been, a great calling card. Yep. A lot of people really do drink bourbon around the world. And so the idea that you get to go to the home place, same for us if we're traveling to the Champagne region of France. Mm-hmm. I'm in the home place.
I've actually never thought about it like that before, but that is
the exact equivalent. Yes. Like you go to Napa for wine. It's if bourbon is your thing, then you have to come to Kentucky.
Yeah. Or your favorite beer, going to that brewery.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And so for us, there's a lot. Bourbon has been a great calling card for us internationally there. And there are some countries that drink mm-hmm. a lot more bourbon than others. Mm-hmm. For example, the Australians love it. The Japanese love it.
Okay.
The folks in the UK and France and Ireland, mm-hmm. they love it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have some really strong global connections in the thoroughbred industry. Mm-hmm. And we're always happy to celebrate those. We love, one of the things that I think is a treat for folks that they're welcome to do as locals is just go out to the Keeneland sale, especially mm-hmm. in September when it really is the biggest sale that they have during the year. And they've got buyers in from all around the world. And it's just, it's amazing. You've got 50 different countries that are in the sales pavilion at Keeneland looking at horses and having lunch and getting to know each other. And it's just, it's mm-hmm. the coolest.
It's unique.
It is very, very special.
Speaking of Keeneland and with all of the festivals and the traditions that we have in Lexington, is there one event or weekend that you just love more than the rest?
Oh, goodness.
Is that like picking a child again
too? Sorry. My favorite child. There are a lot of special moments throughout the year. I have to say I'm really fond of late April. Particularly if you are interested in horses. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, as a 10, 11 year old, did what a lot of girls do, and said to my parents, I think I want to learn how to ride a horse. Mm-hmm. Got to the barn. Turns out I was really allergic to hay. It was not going to be a long career for me on the back of a horse. So I didn't really grow up entrenched in the horse industry or business. And again, I just grew up over in Danville, but in Danville, it was much more like cattle farms and horses that work on the farm, not the racehorses. And so I really had to learn so very much about the thoroughbred industry when I was first getting started in this role. And I have loved learning about this industry. It's endlessly fascinating to me. And just how much Lexington really gets to claim as the centerpiece of it for the world. But just being at Keeneland and seeing the race fans, and then leading into the Kentucky Horse Park with the Kentucky three-day event, and then capping off with the Kentucky Derby. To me, that is just this, like, and it all happens within the span of, like, 10 days. And so I think that's a really special time. Also, it doesn't hurt that the spring is so beautiful here, right? You've got everything that is in full bloom. People are back outside and just, you know, they're starting to like grill out, and you're like actually talking to your neighbors again.
You come out of hibernation.
Yes. And so I am certainly fond of that little 10-day window that puts Keeneland to the end of the April meet, the Kentucky three-day at the horse park, and then leads into Derby week. Even though the Derby's held over in Louisville, there's so much celebrating that happens here in Lexington and then around it, and it's a great tradition. And then I also think that the fall is really special. I mean, I love it. It may sound just absolutely cliche to you, but I love it when you have one of those perfect fall days and you have like Keeneland during the day and then a football game at night. Yes. And it's like, we have just,
the stars have aligned.
Yeah, we have knocked it out of the park tonight. I know.
Like that sweet spot, the end of summer, the start of fall, the weather is perfect. Everything is beautiful.
Yes.
Oh man.
Again, that like that crisp autumn air and those bright, vibrant fall colors. And
with the weather that we're about to be experiencing, that sounds really nice.
We're all a bit nostalgic for
spring or fall.
We're waiting for it.
Yeah.
Okay. We only have a few more minutes. I can't believe we just,
I know this, like the time goes so fast. All day, I think.
Just, you know, I'll come back anytime.
Okay. Perfect. But we want to get some final quick questions in.
Sure.
You know, have done your research. You go to the restaurants, you know, what's going on in Lexington. Is there an underrated or maybe a hidden gem restaurant?
Now, see, if I tell you my hidden gem restaurant,
then it's not a hidden.
Then you all might go there tonight, and I might run into you, and then I'll be like, no. There's so many lovely spots. So, as a matter of fact, tonight I'm going to a place that I don't know how well known it is, but I think it is fantastic Japanese food.
Okay,
and it is Michikusa.
Where is that?
And it is in a little shopping center that is off of Richmond Road, then off of old Mount Tabor.
Okay.
So you're like cutting up, you're on old Mount Tabor and you could go right into Lowe's. Well, across the street is a fairly nondescript shopping center. I'm sorry, I don't know the name of it. And tucked back in there is an unbelievably delicious Japanese restaurant called Michikusa.
Okay. Add that to the list.
I love a recommendation.
So that's my hot tip.
And I've actually never heard of that restaurant before.
Well, great.
And I love restaurants.
They are wonderful. They are absolutely wonderful. They take amazing care of you inside there. And I mean, I could do this for so many restaurants. It's just that I happen to be going there tonight.
You're going there tonight.
So it's top of mind. But yes, so many fun spots around town. I do think we have been really blessed with people from all around the world. And I just, whether you are like popping in Martines for like, you know, an authentic French croissant, or you're going to Michikusa, or you're out in Beaumont at Masala and you're getting probably the best naan bread I've ever had in my life.
Sounds amazing.
I mean, truly.
Yeah.
Like, run, don't walk. It's so good. We have all these global influences. And for one reason or another, their journeys have led them to Lexington, and they are making delicious food. Now, it would not be right for me to say, I also love sort of your institutions, right? The places that have long been. You know, Bellinote has been on my, I mean, we used to drive to from Danville to Lexington to eat at Bellinote. I still think they do it great all the time. Mm-hmm. Dudley's an institution in downtown. Yeah. Like if you were doing fine dining in Lexington, you know, Dudley's has been, I think they are celebrating their 45th year this year.
Wow.
I mean, just truly like an institution. Yeah. Weta Michael, probably Kentucky's most famous chef.
She's love Weta.
Yeah.
An unbelievable ambassador for this destination. She obviously has her home place at Holly Hill, but then a number of these great restaurants. I think Smithtown, like don't sleep on Smithtown, best fish and chips that you'll get in the city.
That sounds so good right now.
Right.
I know I'm hungry.
I'm really hungry.
But I could do this for so many different spots. And so I want to just say, for the record, this is not my exhaustive list. But the point is, there are great places in all of these neighborhoods around the city. And I just would encourage people, like, get out, try someplace new, have some fun, invite some friends. And you will meet wonderful people with these just beautiful stories about how they made their way to Lexington and they love nothing more than making delicious food for us.
We're so lucky to have so many options and so many incredible neighbors who, like you said, have come to Lexington for one reason or another. I'm a transplant to Lexington.
It's a little bit of a melting pot.
It is,
but that's fantastic. That's what makes it interesting, and that's what makes it, I mean, as much as I like fried chicken, we can't eat it every night. So
it's not that good for you.
It's really not. And you can eat Japanese food and not feel guilty. So, no, I'm teasing. But, yeah, I mean, it's just if you think about the sort of pastiche of flavors that has made its way to Lexington. We're really fortunate again to
be a good vocab word.
In a place that can celebrate all these global tastes.
Okay, I have a final question for you.
Okay.
Your elevator pitch to someone who maybe has never even heard of Lexington before. That's probably hard to believe.
We do have some international listeners, though.
Yes,
according to the data of Hot Mike.
We do have some international listeners.
They might be bots, but.
So what is your elevator pitch to them to come visit Lexington?
My elevator pitch is that Lexington is a wonderful small city with an unparalleled scenic beauty, rolling hills, fantastic horses, and farms that will just truly blow your mind, that we are an energetic university city that has a vibrancy and a youthfulness to it. And so there is always something going on, that we are basically a park, a city inside of a big park, and there is plenty of outdoor exploration to be had. And that we are the nicest people that you'll come across, and we cannot wait to show you home.
I'm sold.
Nailed it. Nailed it. Yeah, so if you have not been to Lexington, come visit. And please live in Lexington. The pandemic's over. Get out of your houses. Yeah. Go explore. And Mary Quinn Raymer, thank you so much.
You've
reignited our love of Lexington.
Well, I'm so happy. Thank you. Now you'll be part of the ambassador
pool.
Yes, and absolutely, I hope that folks listening will either get out and do something new to them. And for those that are not in Lexington, I hope you'll come visit us.
Okay.
Thank
you
so
much. Mary Quinn Raymer with Visit Lex.
Thank you so much.
A fabulous guest. And to our viewers and listeners, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time on Hot Mike.